And in the first book, Secret Machines Gods, they lay out in the first half of the book, most of it is devoted to explaining the ideas of Gnosticism. Mm. And Gnosticism, of course, like we talked about earlier, is the inversion idea. It's the idea that we humans are in this, we're living on a prison planet, and we have to transcend from this curse of a body, this material prison that our bodies live in. We have to, you know, reascend kabbalistically up the tree of life to the top Sephiroth and get back to being God. And that's kind of the rough idea of Gnosticism, is that we're in a prison, God created this prison, man needs to escape from his body and transcend and enlighten and elevate above this prison. Well, they also devote a fair amount of information to past societies sacrificing kids.
Hey everybody, it's your boy Isaac. Today we're going to have a part two to a previous show, obviously part one, where I was interviewed by the Trad Cat Knight, the number one Catholic podcast in the world. Previously, we talked about the apocalypse, the occult symbolism of the alien agenda, but due to popular demand, we're going deeper. We're going deeper for part two. Yes, I returned to his podcast, and he again is allowing me to share it with you. He's got, this guy, I thought I grinded. This guy grinds. This guy's busy. This guy's pushing content like you wouldn't believe. And he's got like a subscription service on his website. You can check it out for yourself, tradcatnight.org. But today you're going to get the full show. And we're going to go deeper, like I said. We get into more end times prophecy, the Catholic perspective, the New World Order, the Antichrist Day of Declaration, Joe Rogan. Yes, Joe Rogan, Collins Elite, initiation into the alien religion, Gnosticism. And of course, Adrenochrome and the blood sacrifice to the gods. It's murder. They're coming for us. The nerds are going to kill us, and if they don't, the aliens are coming right behind them to finish the job. So take a listen to the show, and you can check out his stuff at tradcatnight.org. You can, and he'll give a little spiel about what he's all about at the beginning here. Oh, and by the way, let me clarify something real quick. There was some confusion previously. Just to reiterate, if you want bonus content from me, you can get it one of two places, and it's completely dependent upon what you prefer. Option one is patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, where you'll get, and you can check it out. You'll see all the things. I've talked to you about it a million times. You get all kinds of stuff. Bonus content is the main thing there. But Patreon's good for communications between you and I. Like, for instance, I'm going to have a Patreon-wide Ask Me Anything live stream December 10th, 2020. So you can get in on that. If you're not on the Patreon team, that's a good time to sign up. You can get on there. I'm going to talk to you guys for like an hour, maybe more. I don't know. We'll see. You got to entertain me if I try to entertain you. I got a couple people on the Patreon team that want to share their information as well. So they'll get up on stage. Now, the other option is this new option, rockfin.com/creator/Isaac. And you'll get all the bonus content from here on out that you could also be receiving on the Patreon feed. And you'll also get access to an exclusive show I do. I do roughly two episodes a month. I've only did one so far, called Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist. So you can check that out if that's what you prefer. I mean, each system has their perks, right? Like Rockfin, you pay one subscription fee and you get access to a ton of creators besides me. But the downfall to Rockfin is you're not going to get on this live stream with everyone else, and there's less community, but maybe that's not what you want. Maybe you dislike the censorship angles that Patreon has, because Rockfin, guess what? They don't censor nothing, baby. That's why Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist, we talk about the stabbies. We talk about all the things. And so anyways, those are your two options. Neither one's going away. I mean, unless Patreon kicks me off, which is a very valid concern considering the censorship angles. Neither one's going away, but like, it's just two options for you. That's all. That's all it is. Nothing's going away. I'm just going to keep cranking out content and keep trying to get it to you. So you can check those out. Links in the show notes. Let's get into the show.
Special guest podcast right here on the tradcatnight.org website. Folks, today is November the 19th, 2020. hope you all are having a very wonderful and blessed day. Very, very honored today to be having on guest Isaac Weishoff, who's joined us in times past. We both, of course, are labeled as conspiratorial types. We're highly censored. We have to be very careful about what we say. And I know we're going to be running a cross-collaborative effort. So for those coming from Isaac's camp, I want you all to know that you're very much welcomed here at tradcatnight.org. Although I come at it from a traditional Catholic perspective, which may in certain areas be highly new to some folks, I'm considered the sort of end times guy, or the guy that knows about the Antichrist in the Catholic world. I get all kinds of other Catholics coming to me of note that or are always asking questions, including priests from around the world. So do come join us. We're the number one ranked Catholic channel, Catholic podcast and information service. My special guest list truly probably runs 1,000+ at this point. I've been podcasting 7+ years. So I have all the top names that come on the program, and we're really breaking down not only the apostasy on the Christianity side of things, but just in general, breaking down the New World Order and all of its various if you will. I leave no stone left unturned. I'm not afraid to talk UFOs, aliens, demons of the air, Nephilim. I mean, just any direction you want to go. Mark of the Beast. My December web conference, by the way, is going to have some of the top anti-vaxxers on the program. I'm sure you all have seen the vaccine agenda being put down our throats with the latest news that they've got a 5% safe vaccine, right, that Trump and Biden are both behind. Ties in ultimately with the Mark of the Beast system. But in any case, my December web conference has got Dr. Judy Mikovits, Dr. Carrie Madai, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Celeste Salom, Romola D will be there. So I feature some of the top names. And again, I'm hoping to see some new faces from Isaac's camp. Please do join us. I believe you're going to learn an awful lot on a regular basis. I'm pumping out 25+ just pieces of information to help people get a perspective in regards to what we're seeing here in our community. But in any case, folks, before I hand it over to Isaac, we've got a lot to discuss. Isaac's got a new book out. Very, very excited to be breaking this down with him today. We just want to make mention of a few Tradcat Night sponsors, Social Reign of Christ the King.com being one of them. I have a specific program that a woman runs right here in the Ohio Valley area. From a Catholic perspective, this might be new to some of, maybe Isaac too as well. But from our perspective, what kills off the Antichrist? Everyone always asks me, okay, well, like, how do we get out of this mess? Like, we're not going to sit there and fight the mano a mano. That's completely ridiculous. Although I think it's going to come down to guerrilla warfare in the end. But that's a whole other topic. We are going to have to be able to defend ourselves. The Antichrist Hunger Games, which are approaching us. But ultimately, it's through divine intervention. And it's right there in Scripture, Matthew 24, discussing what we call in the traditional Catholic circles the 3 days of darkness. You all can go to YouTube, check out my video on that. Just type in Tradcat Night, 3 days of darkness. It's a 20-minute video. It's the most extensive video on the matter that went viral. But in any case, that's what kills off the Antichrist and New World Order. It's divine intervention. And it's in the book of the Apocalypse that all those, including the Antichrist and the false prophet, who's going to be a false pope in the future. It's not anti-Pope Francis. It'll be someone else down the road. But this is how they get knocked off and how they're killed. And this is basically how we're able to sort of restart Christian society for at least a short period of time. But in any case, the reason why I mention that is because I have a woman that runs a program to which you can get the sacramentals and herbs which are necessary to get through those particular, well, the days ahead, but particularly those 3 days that so many of these Catholic mystics have talked about. So if you're interested in that, you can come join tradcatnight.org. I'll get you the information on that. And just last but not least, I've got one of my members, Chris Gagne, that is calling us to remember the dead, the holy souls in purgatory. That's what we do in this month of November for Catholics. But in any case, Isaac, so important is this conversation today in regards to UFOs, aliens, the connections to the occult, the connections to the New Age religion, the connections to from my perspective, the Antichrist coming, the Ascended Masters, all that good stuff. And my goodness, I'm just really going to hand it over to you and just tell us more about the book in general. You know, give us a good feel for as to how the layout is and why you ultimately chose this topic.
Well, first off, thanks for having me back on. This was one of one of the more well-received shows. A lot of people enjoyed our conversation last time, so I'm stoked to get back in it with you. I feel like you and I tread on similar territory, and I don't know. Is that because we both have this sort of religious background? I don't know, but to me, I try to separate the religious beliefs I have against what I'm witnessing and observing and writing about. I always try to approach it from that angle.
Sure.
And, you know, for those that aren't familiar with my work, I've got, you know, roughly 10 years of research into this realm of the hidden, looking at the occult doctrines, the esoteric philosophies, and trying to reveal the presence of these ideas hidden within our entertainment, the pop culture. And I use this sort of filter of the world where there's an idea that there's a subtle, subliminal, subconscious agenda or message, and we're sort of going down this timeline and approaching the New World Order, basically. Now, as far as the alien stuff, because I've written about many subjects, but I devoted my first book on aliens specifically this year. It's called Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1, with the implication that, of course, next year I'll be dropping Use Your Illusion 2, and I can talk about that later. But the first book is laying down that, because I wanted to write a book about aliens because I'm obsessed with the idea of it. Since I was a teenager, I've been, like, really intrigued by the idea of aliens. And the concept, I wanted to lay down something that other people haven't, because, you know, there's countless books on aliens, and there's even books on the idea that aliens are demons, like kind of like you were talking about there. But to me, researching the occult for so long, it's very clear to me that the occultists have been in contact with extraterrestrial entities, whether that be interdimensional, interstellar, whatever you want to believe. They've been in contact with entities from another for hundreds of years, and they've been pursuing and perfecting this idea of communication, and they want to pursue this agenda of creating a new religion, a new spiritual faith around the pantheon of disembodied spirits that will coincide with this New World Order global agenda. I mean, and this is where it kind of, you know, I don't want to get off the rails on geopolitics and stuff, because that's really not my forte. I clearly see a lot of these ideas happening, like with the talk of the Great Reset and stuff. Like, I'm not ignorant to it. But to me, I focus in as a specialty on the occult realm and how they've been contacting these things, and they're going to get the masses to follow and ultimately, I believe, create a new religion.
Yeah, no, wonderful opening statement here. It's truly a fascinating subject. And when I say demons of the air, like if we were to see something in the sky, I can't say for certain that 100% of everything that we're seeing in the sky is that per se, because we know Project Bluebeam, which I'm sure you researched too. Is it a holographic image? Could we be talking about the advanced technological side of things? We all know how world governments are like 50 years plus ahead of us, on the ground, so to speak. So it could be that too as well. But it is found commonly throughout Catholic prophecy, one of which is Our Lady of La Salette. And this is a direct quote. This is way back in 1846, by the way. The demons of the air together will work with the Antichrist, will work great wonders on the earth and in the air, that men will become more and more perverted, that they embrace the new false gospel, basically, which will be preached by the Antichrist. And by the way, with the whole disembodied spirit angle that you were talking about, that's actually also a part of this 1846 message. I'll try to find that direct quote there as well. But in regards to laying down the foundation for this book, talk to us again a little bit more about the flow. How are the chapters broken down? You and I both know this agenda has been going on for decades and decades. Like, it's not like it's been around for just 20 years. I mean, my goodness, they've been trying to hammer this home in entertainment for quite some time. So maybe you could just give us a little bit better feel, and then maybe we could jump into the entertainment side of things and what they're trying to convince us. What are they trying to convince us? I'll leave it as an open-ended question for you.
The idea is of the first book here is that I wanted to give the reader a background of why I sort of buy into this worldview, Which to me, it's not a belief of mine or I think this is happening thing. Like, this is real. Like, I provide citations and sources. Like, I'm not a fringy crackpot nut job. And as much mm-hmm. as I do appreciate those kinds of people because they're entertaining, to me, I want to get the truth and I want to prove it. So I have all the sources and citations, and none of them are like some fringy weirdo website. Like, you know, they're genuine books and stuff that have been around a long time, and these are vetted ideas. So my whole thing is, on the first book, I want to familiarize the reader with the idea of what we're talking about, with the background of the occult, and you know, the occult. I've got a stack of books on my shelf about the occult. I mean, we could do a 2,000 page book trying to explain all the characters and ideas. So I've sort of distilled the basics of what we need to understand for this alien agenda, with alchemy and the idea of Lucifer, the fallen angel. There's a section on Aleister Crowley. We talk a little bit about symbolism and the subconscious, and how the people into these occult sciences have really perfected this idea of how the mind works and how to influence people and how to even create reality, which I argue the entertainment is giving us the symbolism to speak to the subconscious to create a new reality. Like, that's kind of the idea I'm presenting in the book. And I talk about how they do that through, you know, whether it's through drugs or entertainment, or, you know, why they're doing it. They have this veiled idea that we can receive this, like you mentioned earlier, you're dead on. It's this idea of the enlightenment and the evolution of mankind, mm-hmm. this new woke spirituality. And case in point, not a side note very quickly, on TikTok, there's this trend of talking about the Baphomet, or even emulating the Baphomet. And what they do is, like, there's all these filters, and they basically, they've got these kids pretending like they've got the horns of Baphomet based on how they mess with this filter. And then you've got these viral videos happening right now as we speak that are these kids reading off of Wikipedia about how the Baphomet is satanic, and it's all just this idea of, oh, it's just the wisdom and opening up your mind.
Mm-hmm. And third eye, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's all these ideas of, like, oh, we're just trying to, like, you know, get woke. And I just recorded, I got an hour and a half show in the can. I got to do the editing on it, but because I got so upset by this yesterday that I did a deep dive on the Baphomet and what it really is, because these kids on TikTok are trying to say, hey, there's nothing satanic about this. There's nothing wrong with it. And the short version of what that hour and a half show is going to be about is, well, it depends on your definition of Satan, because they are subscribing to a Gnostic belief system, which is an inversion. They don't believe in the devil necessarily. They think that the serpent, the Lucifer, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, is the real benefit of humanity. And this forbidden knowledge, this forbidden wisdom, is what man needs to evolve. And this ties into what we're talking about today, and what I talk about in Use Your Illusion 1, with this idea of them pursuing wisdom and enlightenment, which sounds great on the surface, but when you look at the history of this and the people doing this stuff, it's all a Luciferian disguise. And that's mm-hmm. what they ultimately want to do, is create a Luciferian world religion. And it fulfills all these prophecies that I just, you know, we can go on and on. In the book, I do this. And the idea of entertainment fitting into this model is that the entertainment influences us to create this as a reality, but I don't go into the specifics. That is what I'm writing Use Your Illusion 2 to be about, where we go through various films. Like, I just did a piece, the chapter on the film Interstellar, and how this fulfills, like, a Saturnian Gnostic fantasy of evolving mankind to the next higher dimension. And that's where Use Your Illusion 2 will be all about, the specifics of, here's the films, here's what they show you. This supports all of the ideas from User Illusion 1.
Now, for your listening audience, again, I'm really not even well received in the supposed Catholic community, because we believe there's a mass apostasy, which is forming this one world religion, this false sort of ecumenical movement, if you will. And we've had in times past we believe he's not a true pope, anti-Pope Francis, talking about how if it were to come to the conclusion that there were aliens, that they would try to baptize them, which I thought was very, very interesting. But I've got a quote here from the Orthodox, and I've saved this quote because it's not just Catholics who are calling to mind this demons of the air aspect. Listen to what St. Gabriel the Confessor has to say, and I could send this quote to you if you want to use it for future reference. And maybe you've seen this one already, Isaac, given your background, but here it is. During the days of Antichrist, the strongest temptation will be the anticipation of salvation coming from the cosmos, from humanoids, that is, from extraterrestrials, who are actually demons, he says. One should rarely look up even into the sky to search the skies with the naked eye, since these signs will be deceptive and one might be deceived. Now, in conjunction with the quote that I already gave you from Our Lady of La Salette, I find that very interesting. There's also another Catholic prophecy. I mentioned the 3 days of darkness, but one of the main mystics that I have a movie on that talked about the 3 days of darkness, one of the reasons why you're going to want to be inside is because basically like every devil is going to be let loose. Not only, I mean, just devils, but then also what she calls the wicked. And I guess we can highlight that as extraterrestrial humanity. I know some people say Anunnaki. There's all kinds of names used for it. But this is what she says. During this darkness, the devils and the wicked will take on the most hideous shapes. Red clouds will move like blood across the sky. The crash of thunder will be so sinister that the earth will be shaken to its very foundations. People will die of fright. Basically, all those who don't have faith, supreme confidence in Christ are going to be killed on the spot. Like, that's how panicked you're going to get. That's how bad it's going to be during that period of time. And I'm trying to bring this all to a head here because I've got a specific question for you, Isaac, because I, in this past a few weeks with a guy that I think is the Antichrist, there's a lot of Buddhist elements behind it. New Age, Buddhist New Age kind of connections. And I think those who have studied Hitler have seen how he went over there, over to that area, and started taking some of the symbology, the Nazi symbology, but then also the SS symbology. Well, I think over this past week or two, I have a very firm understanding of what the actual mark of the beast will look like. If you come on over to tradcatnight.org, you'll check out literally what I think it's going to look like. I could be wrong, but I would venture to say put in a decent amount of time into it, but you could see that. But in regards, this is my question here. I'm rambling all over the place here. Far Eastern or Eastern religions, their tie with the New Age, their tie in with the occult. What has been sort of your research and background? Do you get into that
yes. at all in this book? Yeah, and this is where the most sinister element of this is, because quick background is I was raised in a sort of Protestant-esque sort of non-denominational church. I didn't like it. I didn't really enjoy it. It wasn't my cup of tea. I found the people to be sort of like, I couldn't get along with the people that were there. I didn't like it. And when I was 16, my mom was like, okay, you don't have to go anymore. And I was like, sweet, thanks. And then I became, later on, became an Orthodox Christian, which I find to be a beautiful faith. I struggle with, I'm not one of these guys. It's like, oh, I'm so convinced God talks to me. Like that hasn't happened for me yet. I hope it does. I pray. It's a one way thing. And I've been very blessed. I live a great life. So like I feel like this is the right path for me. So with that being said, I understand when people don't like the Christian faith. They don't like some of the people within the faith. Like I get all that because I've been there myself. Now that on top of all that, I've practiced Buddhist things, mindful meditation, visualization exercises, like positive thinking, like some of these things I find work for me as far as lifting me out of depression and so on. So like I see how the insidious part of this is that they take things that can be healthy, like yoga, for instance, is a great example. And the roots of this stuff are very occult in nature, but we've made it so acceptable in our modern society that people don't even know this is a thing. And I would argue that they've normalized it so that later, it can lay the foundations for this new religion, which, and that's all my whole shtick is like, look, I'm not saying don't go to the freaking yoga class. I'm just saying, be aware of this thing and it could possibly lay the groundwork for this. Now, you talk about the Mark of the Beast. In my research, there's a guy named Kenneth Grant, who was a follower of Aleister Crowley. He wrote a book called Aleister Crowley and the Hidden God. And he says that he talks about the Kabbalistic Tree of Life and the lightning bolt, which is the path following the Tree of Life. But he says that there's this thing, the idea of the Heart of Nodens, Nodens being the beast from underneath, akin to Satan on some levels. And he says that there's going to be a fusion of an X and an O when the lightning flashes from the depths, and this establishes the goddess and the union. But the idea is that that is, in fact, the mark of the beast, is the fusion of the X and the O. And you see this symbolism in a lot of works. Xbox has it as the logo with the X and the O. You see it mm-hmm. on X-Files. Yeah, X is used a lot. Yeah, it's all over the place. Charles Manson carved an X into his forehead. And by the way, today is the day that Charles Manson died. I sent out an email in my newsletter about it. A fun little story. Anyway, I lost track of where we were going with this. Oh, yeah, Father Seraphim Rose. He's an Orthodox monk. I don't know if you've read his book, Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future. But he was talking about this, 60 years ago. He said that ecumenicism and the idea of sort of watering down Christianity to be like, all faiths have a bit of truth in them. Like, this is the religion of the future, and this is the religion of the Antichrist. It's not going to be this very clear, Church of Satan, we worship the devil type stuff. It's going to be this dilution of the Christian faith and like, we need to consider all faiths have some truth in them, mm-hmm. which is part of Project Bluebeam, which I have a whole chapter in the book about Project Bluebeam and how that works. But it's a Masonic ideology. And mm-hmm. a lot of the trends that we're seeing are exactly what Father Seraphim Rose was talking about. What the quotes you dropped. I mean, this is nothing new, but what I found in my personal life when I talk to people about it, I would argue, 95% of people have no freaking clue any of this stuff has already been talked about. They're just going along for the ride. And that's been my goal, is to just be like, look, I'm not saying you need to go study your Bible, go home and repent. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying wake up to what's happening and make it a conscious choice. Don't just go with the program, because that's where they're heading. That's where they're taking us.
Yeah, no, they're certainly going to rely upon human nature in regards to sucking people into the Mark of the Beast system. Of course, they're trying to undermine us economically speaking. Some of the early Catholic Church fathers indicated that's how most people, unfortunately, will eventually be embracing the Mark of the Beast, is due to starvation. They'll fear for their lives. So I've always said they'll choose... people will choose their stomachs over their souls at that point. And this is why I bring on some of the top preppers and survivalists from around the world getting prepared for this event. And by the way, one of the top rabbis just the other day, for your listening audience, said the quote unquote Messiah will be here in between September 2021 and 2022. This, of course, is not our Christ. I'll let you understand where I'm going with that, but I'm one of the rare Catholics that's been saying the Antichrist has been right around the corner. Probably about 7 plus 8 years ago, when I started putting the research down, I was like, oh my goodness, this is where it's going. And the guy that is characterized as the Antichrist, again, it's no one that we see out there today. I want to make sure that everyone's clear. There's no one out there, from my perspective right now, that is the Antichrist. He's going to show up onto the scene after the economic collapse and what the New Age calls the Day of Declaration, where he's going to reveal all of these fallen angels in the flesh, otherwise called as these ascended masters. In conjunction with that, I call them more the foot soldiers, Isaac, but then in the air, you're going to have all this sort of phenomenon going on with the UFOs, or what Maitreya calls the Space Brothers. So here, this is right from his website under the frequently asked questions of UFOs. How do UFOs connect with the coming of Maitreya? And this is their answer. There is a relationship. The UFOs are doing, put very broadly and simply, preparing the platform for Maitreya. Most of the UFOs visiting this planet comes from Mars and Venus, they say. And I'll spare you all the details, because I could do a whole hour show on this alone. But they also mention crop circles and the connection, and why we're seeing most of them happening in England, because this is where Maitreya is, in London. It's sort of like their compass pointing to where their guy is or whatnot. And a lot of these Crop circles, by the way, are very much Talmudic and Kabbalistic in nature. If you actually just look at the symbols, they come from the Kabbalah. Tim Fitzpatrick did a great job of breaking that down. But in any case, yeah, all these ties with Buddhism, with the Kabbalah, with the Talmud. And again, if you come and join TradCatNight.org, I'll literally show you what I think the Mark of the Beast is going to look like. I could be wrong, but I'm leaning towards this being the mark, because it's basically a symbol of path to enlightenment or whatnot. Now, in regards to, you got a few things that you mentioned here that I am not familiar with, so I want you to educate me on, and it's the Collins Elite. Who or what is the Collins Elite? I'm not familiar with this.
Okay, yeah, so, you know, I'm not the one to sort of break the news on this. The Nick Redfern wrote about this many years ago, and I'll try to give you the sort of minimal version of it. But he,
sure.
Nick Redfern is a researcher. He contacted a guy named Ray Boucher for a book he wrote called Final Events, right? Apropos for our topic today. Mm-hmm. And the claim is that the Pentagon, Ray Boucher said, look, the Pentagon assembled a group of people called the Collins Elite to research, you know, Jack Parsons, Aleister Crowley, UFOs, the occult, which is all back in the 40s, right? Back when now Ron Hubbard were using Crowley's Amalantra working, which, you know, Crowley successfully summoned the alien lamb, infamously the first gray alien, using the Amalantra workings up near where Ghislaine Maxwell got arrested, by the way. Anyway, the right. So Parsons and now Ron Hubbard, they do a similar version of the ritual. And so, as the legend goes, they opened up the portal, but Crowley said they were idiots and they left it wide open. Crowley dies, the portal's left open, Roswell happens, and then the Collins Elite start investigating. A couple years later, Jack Parsons dies. Collins Elite goes into a panic. They say, oh my gosh, this guy was doing all these satanic occult things, because, you know, Parsons, of course, the guy who basically was the founder of NASA, so to speak, loosely speaking, he said he was the anti. He said, I'm the Antichrist, and his whole mission, just like Crowley, was to destroy Christianity. And he said, oh, and by the way, before I forget, Jack Parsons once said that UFOs are part of the agenda to convert the world to Crowleyanity, the new Crowley religion. Anyway, so Parsons dies, Collins Elite, they've been investigating this stuff, right? And there's a couple reasons why I believe this story. Look at the history of our secret projects, MKUltra, Stanford Research Institute, Project Stargate, all these like woo-woo remote viewing things that you know, they sort of put the Men Who Stare at Goats movie and these things. They were all researching these occult phenomenon of making contact with things from other dimensions, so to speak. And this is where the Collins Elite was a part of this movement. It was this group of people, and they, this whole time, since the 40s, the argument goes, this whole time, they've been the only sane voice in the Pentagon saying, look, we should be careful about investigating these phenomenon because we think these aliens are demonic. Because the Collins Elite, like most of society back in the 1940s, it was a very, you know, Christian belief, heavy Christian belief system. And they, from day one, were like, look, Parsons was a Satanist. Crowley was a Satanist. They were contacting fallen angels. We shouldn't be messing with this stuff. Meanwhile, the Pentagon is like, no, we're investigating this stuff because the Russians are doing it, and they're trying to remote view into our secrets, and they're going to be calling these aliens. We want to do it first. These are great weapons. We'll protect America, blah, 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 blah. They've been arguing about this for 50 years, right? And fast forward to Ray Boucher and Nick Redfern having a discussion about this, and he reveals this in that book in 2011. Well, now I pick up the story, and I'm reading about Dr. Diana Pasulka. She wrote a book called American Cosmic. She was a guest on my show, and I got to ask her all the questions I wanted to, because her book was the most eye-opening, disturbing book about the alien phenomenon you'll ever read. Because she is a professor of religious studies, and the UFO secret society, you know, Jacques Vallée called it the Invisible College. They contacted her and said, hey, we need to pick your brain, and we're going to show you some secret things, but we need to pick your brain, because what they wanted to do was figure out how to start a UFO religion. Because to these people in this UFO secret society, which we're not talking about the Collins Elite now. We're talking about, the, as she describes it, is sort of like this covert group of defense contractors and scientists and engineers who are researching what they call the phenomenon. And they have actual pieces of materials that are from out of this world. So they're researching this, and this group, it's not belief to them. They say, look, this is proof that there's life outside of this earth, and we want to figure out how to, you know, leverage this into a religion.
Hmm.
So you got all these, so you get, and then, you know, you look at what else is going on. You got Tom DeLonge from Blink-182, who's a Freemason. He's linking up with Peter LaVenda, who's an occultist. Not to take anything away from Peter LaVenda. I love his work. His research is bar none the best you'll read about the occult. But he as allegedly he's involved with the occult, and he's an OTO member. But they're writing these books. They're rolling out disclosure through there to the Stars Academy, which is based off of Jack Parsons' Ad Astra ideas. And they're rolling out shows on History Channel with Luis Elizondo, the guy who worked at the Pentagon. And if you listen to the interviews with these guys, with Peter LaVenda, Luis Elizondo, and I've got this in the book, quotes that he's saying on Joe Rogan, I think it was on Joe Rogan's podcast, a couple podcasts, he's like, look, we had these Christians inside the Pentagon that were holding back research for so long, but they're out of the picture now, and we're ready to move on, we're ready to learn. We're ready to get the wisdom, basically, is what I interpret this as.
Mm.
And what he's referring to is the Collins Elite. And you can read it, the quotes in the book, he says, he sort of mocks them and says, oh, there were these people holding back research in the Pentagon, and they thought that we were summoning the devil. Ha, ha, ha. And, like, I think it was on Joe Rogan's show. Joe Rogan even kind of chuckles at that idea. Mm. And that, to me, is a real scary deal because, and by the way, Ray Boucher, just to confirm his role in this, I asked Dr. Diana Pasulka, who was, you know, she was hanging out with Jacques Vallée and all these UFO people. I asked her about Ray Boucher, and she was like, look, I can't give you a ton of information. All I can tell you is that I know Ray Boucher personally, and he's got no reason to lie, and I believe what he says is the truth.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. Yeah, Joe Rogan's an interesting cat. I've always wondered about Joe Rogan. You know, is he really who he is? I mean, is he just, you know what I mean? Like, he's got this, you know, his symbol's got the third eye, you know, right on it. You okay? So, like, when I first saw that, because he's always ragging on Christians and, you know, Jesus just a myth and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he'll bring Christians on, and when he does, like, he won't, like, try to debate them. Like, he brought on Mel Gibson, who is a staunch traditional Catholic like myself. His dad was probably one of the most notable traditional Catholics out there. He used to go on Alex Jones' show, Hutton Gibson, and I watched that podcast the other day. But then Joe Rogan just bought that house down in Austin. It's got a big Buddha statue. So I'm like, man, is this guy, like, you know, I don't know. Like, is the elite, like, allowing him to have, like, this sort of big podcast just so he could rip on Christianity or whatnot? I don't know. I don't want to get too conspiratorial with it, but
he's reflecting a pervasive thought in American society with this idea of what Father Seraphim Rose warned us about, of this ecumenicism, of this idea of sort of picking and choosing which sort of spiritual beliefs you want. And like I said, I'm guilty myself, but, like, it's hard to find the truth in all this. And, you know, Joe Rogan, I like Joe Rogan, and I think he's one of the best. I mean, I prefer him over a sort of mainstream media interview.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, I mean, he's definitely got some suspicious there that would warrant a deeper look. I haven't listened to the Mel Gibson show, but that's curious. I'll have to dig into that one.
Yeah, the Mel Gibson one was dealing with, oh goodness, it was dealing more like with health and stem cell sort of research that Mel wanted to get across. But yeah, I always find it, like, when he brings a Christian on, like, he'll never rag on him. But when you listen to his other podcasts, he's always, like, making fun of us or whatnot. But I've tried to get on his program just so I could talk about the stuff that I talk about in regards to, you know, the end times and supposed conspiracy theories, because he always tries to really rag on conspiracy theorists too as well. But for your listening audience, I have a whole podcast series on the biblical false prophet who will be the sidekick to the Antichrist. I have a whole podcast series on the Antichrist, breaking down some of they're saying. Yeah, on my website, tradcatnight.org. Now, I wanted to get your take on this, because you're well-versed in this area, too, and talking about the stars, like, the meaning behind, again, from my perspective, when I read what Antichrist Betrayer says, the new religion is, in a nutshell, is self-realization or self-illumination, basically. And it's going to be, I've been warning now people, if people think it's bad in Rome these days with the direction of, the Vatican, in my humble opinion, the next step when the biblical false prophet and Antichrist forces take over Rome, because they're literally going to defeat it. Antichrist army is going to defeat Rome, and they're going to take over Rome. And then I think this is where they install either a 5-step or 7-step initiation program. Like in the Catholic Church, there's 7 sacraments. You know those too as Orthodox, right? All the sacraments that are there. Mm-hmm. Well, when the New Age comes, they have a whole, it's probably going to be a 5-step, what they call initiation program. And one of those initiations, folks, is going to be what Saint Hildegard said, another famous Catholic saint, the counterfeit baptism. So we have baptism, right? We were signed and sealed as soldiers of Christ. Well, as a part of this 5-step initiation program of the Antichrist in the New Age, you know, under the banner of self-realization, you're going to have to take this tattoo identification, which we all see is coming down the pike with Bill Gates or whatnot. And it's going to be a Luciferian symbol. And again, I think I know what that it's going to look like. I could be wrong, but I've got pictures of it on my website. People can message me in regards to what they think about it. But I'm all over the place here. But stars, because over and over again, as I mentioned, Maitreya is talking about these. But anytime you talk about stars, they always equate that to spaceships. And there's an event coming, and I've been warning folks about this, and I think it could be in 2022, because mainstream science is talking about these collisions of 2 stars, which is going to be, you know, obviously, it'll be all over the place. You're not going to be able to miss this event. But it's going to leave a 3rd star. Like, so a collision of 2 stars, it's going to leave a 3rd star sort of up in the sky in the year 2022. And in my humble opinion, because the Antichrist has to mock or counterfeit everything that the real Christ did, it'll be sort of like at that point when we're in the tribulation period and all kinds of stuff is happening, it'll be a sign in the heavens that the Messiah is amongst us, if you follow. You remember scripture, the 3 Magi story? Like, mm-hmm. Okay, the Christ is here. Okay, and even, you know, the New Age is talking about this, how the star will be seen, in the sky or whatnot. But I'm just kind of curious and wondering if you can maybe, with your background, talk more about stars and, you know, how these, you know, sort of false Eastern religions look, or the New Age or whatever, because as I dig more and more deep into this, I think ultimately they're preparing for the ultimate false flag down in Jerusalem, with these New Agers talking about how the New Jerusalem is going to descend out of the sky. Now, from our perspective, it's totally different than what the New Age has to say. And New Jerusalem basically is another way, from a perspective, of mentioning the church in so many terms. But they actually are going to stage an event where there's a spaceship going to come out of the sky and descend upon Jerusalem, and then peace is going to kind of be granted to everyone. And if you don't believe me on that, I'm sure you probably studied this already, Isaac. I mean, you could just go out there and type it in yourself, New Jerusalem spaceship or whatnot, and I've kind of connected the dots, and I think that's how the Antichrist will attempt to propose peace to mankind before he breaks peace. But stars, maybe we could talk about that for a few minutes.
And that's what they've always talked about, looking to the skies to find the answers. And you'll see that sort of phrase with many occultists. And what the Ancient Aliens show, again, one of these shows on the History Channel owned by Disney. Disney was part of the original propaganda effort back all the way back in 1953 with the Robertson panel. And Disney's been part of the previous disclosure idea was to debunk the idea of UFOs, whereas now it's flipped around. And now Disney, I'd argue, much like in the past, is part of the new propaganda, which is to redefine the terms is the first stage of propaganda. So mm-hmm. We're now calling them UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. And now Disney, who owns history, has all these shows like Ancient Aliens. But if you look at the history of Ancient Aliens, it's very fraudulent. A lot of the ideas they present, and even Joe Rogan, who I find to be a very intelligent guy, he got it wrong. There was an episode with, I believe it was Bob Lazar and Jeremy Corbell, they were talking about some of these ancient aliens ideas that, you know, some of the first episodes they talked about paintings with, you know, with UFOs in the sky. And when you read the debunks, there was a guy named Chris White. I'm not sure if he still like does the research, but he had a show called Ancient Aliens Debunked on YouTube. It was like 3 or 4 hours. And he fully debunks those claims that, oh, the you know, because the ancient aliens are like, oh, these paintings, they show UFOs. How did they know about UFOs, you know, 500 years ago when they painted this? And it's not. It was a painting of God's light or God's energy or whatever. Like, it just wasn't a UFO, plain and simple. And, you know, Joe Rogan even sort of reiterated that lie on his show when he had Lazar on there. But the idea of the stars fits into all of the occult doctrine. You go back to John Dee and Edward Kelly. They were talking to angels. They were astrologers for the Queen Elizabeth. They always look to the skies to find the truth. You look at the ideas of ritual magic, because UFOs support this idea that goes back to the first mystery schools of Egypt and the Hermetic axiom, as above, so below. And when I say Hermetic, let me define that in case people are confused by that. It's this idea. There was this, you know, Egyptian god of magic, Thoth, that loosely fits into this idea of Hermes Trismegistus. And supposedly this god of sorts wrote the Emerald Tablet, had this, you know, man, the wisdom, right? It has the wisdom we all need to evolve. And part of this was the idea of as above, so below, meaning the macro connected to the micro. Man is connected to God. We are all connected in the universe. The magician, through mental work, through occult ritual, they can cause physical changes in the world, much like the power of prayer or religion. But to this, it's not a focus of doing God's will. It's a focus of man doing his own will, which, as you can see or think about, obviously that has some disasters. Man is trouble. So that is the ultimate sort of idea, is that man can create reality through these practices. And when you saw the creation of the U.S. Space Force, their motto is always above, right? And that's, again, playing on the as above, so below stuff. And you know, that the creation of the U.S. Space Force, it was more of an administrative thing than anything. But it didn't matter. This is part of the UAP disclosure. It's warming people up to the idea that not only do aliens exist, but after they get us convinced on that, which they're already damn near there. I mean, most people believe in aliens now that used to not. You know, 8 years ago when I wrote my first book, it was quite the opposite. You were nuts. You were a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist if you believed in aliens. Nowadays, of course there's aliens. I mean, listen to all the scientists and look at all the sky. Look at all the planets out there. And and you got these shills like Neil deGrasse Tyson and what's the other dude? Bill Nye. I've got more scientific engineer right, than right. Bill Nye, first off. So you've got these shills on here saying, of course there's aliens. Of course. Look at all the sky. Look at all the planets. Look at all the stars. Of course there's life out there. And they're violating their own scientific doctrine, their own scientific dogma, which is the scientific method. Like, it doesn't, in science, it doesn't exist until you prove it. You put the hypothesis and then you have to prove it. And they haven't proven anything yet. But I argue that they will. Through some weird, you know, barely thing, like, oh, we found water on the asteroid, and there's a microbial thing, and, you know, the scientists, they believe that this is what created life on Earth, and that's where they're going with it. I assure you, within 5 years, we're going to have the population duped into believing panspermia. We're not going to see these aliens. We're going to be told they exist, and that we were created through panspermia, and then eventually it's going to get into this idea of, well, how do we contact these things? And then they're going to refer to the occult doctrine of how to do this. And then we're going to make the contact. And then it's going to be this, you know, bestowal of wisdom and knowledge from what I argue is the fallen angels, the Luciferian figures.
No, that's very interesting. Again, on the Catholic prophecy side of things, one of the reasons why crazy earth is happening about, I mean, push aside the whole geoengineering aspect, which I think is quite clear at this point, although Joe Rogan thinks it's a conspiracy theory. My goodness, they declassified that, you know, decades or so ago, is that there is something approaching the planet. And I always get hung up on this because you always see satanic NASA talking about there's comets here, there's asteroids there, yet it's in Catholic prophecy that we do get hit by something. It's in scripture. Wormwood will eventually be hit by a comet, but you can't trust NASA these days really with anything. But moving along, I got a question for you in regards to a topic which always comes up. I want to get your take and perspective. I lost my train of thought there. Antarctica. Why does Antarctica seem to keep coming up? Why is, you know, Russia there? We've even had Russia in times past warning us of how the fallen angels are coming back. I've seen articles on that, and, you know, I leave that as a toss-up in regards to whether that's fake news or not. I've got different guests saying different things. But searching for sort of an energy, or what's that thing they always say they're looking for? I always miss it. It's shown in a lot of these Avenger movies where they go and they're looking for that crystal or whatever it is in the caves or whatnot that gives them power. I don't know if it's called animanium or something. I forget what it's called, but Antarctica seems to be popping up an awful one. Research the connections maybe potentially between either UFOs, aliens, or Nephilim, even and Antarctica. If you got anything to add, I don't know.
Sure. Antarctica is an interesting place. I did a full like deep dive into flat Earth. I had so many people telling me to believe in flat Earth, and I was like, okay, fine, I'll look into it. So I did. And in their defense, it was much more difficult for me to like disprove. I don't believe in flat Earth.
Right, neither do we. Yeah.
Okay. And that being said, I don't shame those who don't. Like I said, I've got a science background. When I went to college, a class right next to me, they for their senior project, they launched a satellite into space, and it worked. And they had photos, and it was delivering photos back to the school. And I mean, like, for the flat Earth theory to work, all the formulas and derivations of the formulas and the orbital sort of trajectory formulas, like, none of that would work. And the satellite would have came crashing back down, and they would have scratched their head and thought, oh, I guess that didn't work. I wonder why. But that's not the case. It would also require every pilot who's ever flown internationally to be in on the conspiracy. You know, anyway, as part of that, a lot of people said, well, you know, Antarctica is like, they won't let you down to the South Pole, which also isn't true. I found flights, you can charter flights that will fly you right over the damn thing. So, like, that's not true. But... right. But there's arguments that this guy Richard Byrd or Robert Byrd, I think it's Richard Byrd, he was this explorer and aviator, and he went down to Antarctica a couple times, Operation High Jump, and I think the idea was that they were looking for some Nazis down there, because the legend goes that Hitler and his people were down there looking, and they could have been looking for a lot of these occult concepts that they learned about, and you know.
Nazis are everywhere. You ever seen a Tim Kennedy show? Tim Kennedy's a friend of the program, that former UFC fighter. He had that famous show on where they were going to search for him down in Argentina, I think it was. Remember that
one? Okay. I haven't seen that. I'll have to look for it. Yeah, I'm interested in the whole, that whole Nazi thing is just the most bizarro moment in history, it seems like, you know, because of the occult connections in there. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, I mean, we can segue over to this briefly, but Heinrich Himmler, he was like the guy behind most of the occult stuff of the Nazi party, and he was obsessed. He apparently had this like obsession with finding witches in the German woods out there and trying.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He had this whole research project trying to confirm and validate that witches were in fact persecuted by the Christians, with the, because they were trying to, he wanted to sell the world and Germany or whatever on the idea that the Christian faith was in fact the most horrendous thing ever. And look at how they treated these women, these goddesses of the ancient Germanic witch tribes and all this stuff.
Now let me ask you this question while I'm thinking about it, as we're diving deep here with Isaac Weishoff, author of a book you need to pick up, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion, Part 1, in regards to, you know, the vaccines forthcoming. I think a lot of Christians can kind of see where we're going with this, how it's going to tie in with cryptocurrencies. Eventually, I already mentioned the Luciferian initiation, which is going to be attached to it, which is critical. But when we're talking about these people who, like, just they seem normal, right, on the surface level, those who are not of the Christian faith. And as you mentioned, everything seems to be inverted these days. Evil is now seen as good. Good is seen as evil. Everything's flip-flop, which is a perfect recipe for the arrival of the Antichrist, if you ask me. But where do drugs come into play? You know, like MK Ultra. I mean, there's a lot of people. I don't think most Christians are going to be taking the vaccine. As much as Trump wants to support it and telling everyone to get it, I would think very few people are going to take it. But what could be in, you know, that vaccine? You know, nanobots, nanotechnology, certain drugs to make a person even more of a zombie to kind of just go along with the routine, as opposed to, I'm sort of setting a backdrop because it's in the early Catholic Church fathers said that the Antichrist would be perfectly possessed, right? It wouldn't be Satan himself, but he would be perfectly possessed by Satan. So is it like a combination of both for ultimately the perfect Luciferian, you know, New Age society, like half zombie via drugs, the other half they're perfectly possessed? Is it one or the other? What do you, I mean, it's an interesting sort of debate, you know what I mean?
I don't mean to cut you off, but it's curious because back in March when this, you know, I don't know how much censorship you have, and I guess you don't have any. I guess I'd be more worried about my feed.
Right, when
the disease launched off, we'll say, I looked into the vaccines because at the time I was of the camp of, like, I don't take flu shots, I don't take vaccines, but, like, I'm of the age that I didn't really have a lot of vaccines. You know, I'm in my 40s, right. And to me, I was always like, I don't know, I guess they work. I don't know. Like, it's fine, whatever. And then one of my people reached out to me and she sold me on her story. She had a, I don't want to share too many details, but, like, basically someone in her family got severely injured from a vaccine. And I said, oh my gosh, that's terrible. But that, still in my head, I thought, yeah, but, like, I mean, this is, you know, probably 1 out of 10,000. Like, I'm sure it happens, but, like, your odds are pretty slim is what I thought. And she begged me to look into it. So I dug into it. I did like 8 episodes on vaccines. I compiled all my notes with all my links, all my sources, which, again, nothing quacky. It was all legitimate, you know, CDC type websites. And I packaged this up in like an 80-page thing. And I said, hey, I'm going to publish this on Amazon so you guys can just read the ebook if you don't want to listen to the shows. And I went to publish it and Amazon blocked it, which was a first for me. I've got like 12 books on there with insane old titles about satanic transhumanism.
Right.
I mean, you name it. It's like offensive as hell. Mm-hmm. And they blocked it. And I thought, oh my God, you know, what's up with that? And my conclusion of researching the vaccines is that I would say the mantra should, instead of them saying they're safe and effective, they should say they're kind of safe and kind of effective, because that's more accurate to me. I think there's some levels that they work. I don't think they work that great. I think that the proof is that they have to do all these boosters. You know, you need like 5 freaking MMR shots now. You need like 5 polio shots now or whatever. And this fits into the big scheme. You talked about earlier about the health and nutrition stuff. And I that to me seems the most damning argument of this whole ordeal is America is getting crushed by this disease. And I do believe the disease is real. I think it's real.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Catholic prophecy too, by the way. There'll be, I don't know where it will be. I don't think it'll be with the second wave. And you're a predictive programming person too. You remember that the movie, The Fifth Wave, with the aliens? Speaking about, I mean, ties in our conversation today, The Fifth Wave, that movie with the, you know, the aliens coming. Well, the third wave, if you recall, was the bird flu that they released on people. Millions of people died. And it's in The Third Secret of Fatima. I believe we talked about this a little bit in our first program together, that whole nations will be wiped out overnight due to a pandemic coming. So I sat back when this first thing came out and I was like, oh, is this the one? So I don't know. Like, I think there will be at least 5 waves, kind of like that movie. I've seen predictive programming on that. And I think what the whole process will be like, you know, first wave, now we're preparing for vaccine. You know, when the vaccine comes out and it's not going to work, obviously, third wave will come out. And they'll always sort of be like one step behind, trying to get people to take more and more vaccines. They'll take more and more nanobots. They'll take more and more poisons, if that makes sense.
Oh, so ultimately, interesting.
Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And maybe, man, I hope not. That's a bummer if it is. But to me, like, I from day one, I was, and everyone observed this. And from day one, we were shutting everything down. And I thought, what do these guys know that we don't? Like, this is quite the reaction for something that hasn't even proved itself to be that bad. And if you look at the cases and the deaths and stuff at the beginning, I remember back in March and April when we were locked down, looking at the cases every day, and like I'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, and I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head. I'd be like, oh my gosh, there's X number of cases today. That's terrible. And then, you know, slowly over summer, like we were released back out into the population there, and like things felt normal. And then now in the fall, like the things are ramping up, and like, well, those case numbers back in April that were, you know, X, now they're like 400 times X. And I'm like, geez, like I should be scared now. I was scared back then, you know? And to me, I feel like the vaccine thing, and that's what I've been, I'm trying to research the mRNA vaccine, because that didn't show up in my research when I was trying to understand, okay, how scared of vaccine should I be? And the mRNA thing is a whole different beast, no pun intended. But one of the theories, and I'm just now digging into it, one of the theories is that it has this, and I don't, this could be just conspiracy nonsense, but there's a VMAT2 gene that allegedly that the military or somebody was researching, and this is a gene that makes people feel God, feel connected to God, and they want to suppress that. And the argument is that that is in the vaccine for the COVID.
I've heard that, yeah.
And so that would fit into some of the ideas you're presenting here, which is very alarming to me. And as much, you know, and look, like, I want this thing to be over. I'm so tired of this shit. Like, I'm like, give me the damn creepy vaccine at this point. I just went out of my house. but that's like short term thinking. And like, I'm with you, man. Like, it's very possible that 6 months from now they say, okay, so you took two injections, but turns out you need five. Okay. Yeah, you know, yeah, and like, how long until we're on a drip? And the bigger picture, the bigger scheme is that in America, we're getting crushed by this thing because our health and nutrition is garbage. Our environment is garbage. The air is crap. The water's crap. And to me, this is because the elites are, they figured out a way to fleece us for all of our money through poor nutrition, big pharma, and all this crap. And they have no interest in actually keeping you healthy, which is why from day one, Fauci and all these guys are like, oh, you know, you got to wash your hands and wear a mask. Not one person mentioned, America needs to lose some weight. America needs to not be on as many medications. America needs to, you know, if you're diabetic, this is a problem. You need to like get your stuff together now. But that they don't want that. They want people dependent upon this system they built because it's high profit margins for them, which is the most disturbing element of this whole thing that no one's talking about to me.
Yeah, no mention of vitamin D, no mention of getting out in the sun, but you can't when you're on lockdown, right? Most of the time. So quick, some other points here. We have to begin to wrap this up. We only scheduled to really talk for about 30 minutes or so today, and you can see how Isaac and I are floating around different ideas. I mean, I could go on for hours with Isaac, and if Isaac wants to, we could do this again next month and pick up this conversation if he's got time, because I find that not only very enlightening, but fascinating, the points that Isaac is presenting here today. Yeah, one more point here, but I did want to make mention of this. Walt Disney, you mentioned Disney Channel there. He was a 33rd degree Freemason, so not surprising that he's got his hand on a lot of this stuff. The History Channel, you mentioned Discovery Channel. You can find the Antichrist commercials, by the way. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Isaac. If you go to YouTube channel, just type in Antichrist commercial, History Channel, History and Discovery Channel, and you'll see a few of them that'll pop up. It's literally preparing the way for this false Messiah, in which all religions are said to be looking out, you know, for this new Messiah figure. I've used this in my articles in times past. Last area before we let you go is an area which I'm certainly on the surface level aware of, but certainly don't. I mean, I understand the big picture as to why these elite, why these Luciferians would want to sacrifice to their quote-unquote gods. Let's talk a little bit about adrenochrome, if we could, for just a moment. What's been some of your points that you brought out in your book, which I find very interesting? I know on November the 1st, it's typically the high day of sacrifice on the Illuminati calendar, and I think down the road there will be some type of event, because they often like to use fire with, you know, associated with some of these false flag or events or whatnot. And I'm kind of wondering just, you know, if and when that day is going to come. And obviously it didn't happen this past November, but, you know, some kind of nuclear attack, or I don't know what they're going to pull out, but more than likely it'll probably be on a November the 1st. But in any case, yeah, break down this area for us.
Definitely. This is a fascinating subject, and I found a way to squeeze this into the Alien book because I found it to be important. The idea, to give a sort of background on it, where this came about, through entertainment, again, you know, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the film was kind of one of the first films to talk about this, where Hunter S. Thompson, and I read through the book to confirm this, because the book has a little bit more about it than the movie. But in the book, Hunter S. Thompson, who supposedly went to Vegas, and we don't know how much of the book was just for hyperbole fun versus an actual retelling of what he went through down in Vegas, but his lawyer turned him onto this drug called adrenochrome, and they called it an extreme form of mescaline. And in the book, the lawyer says he got it from the adrenaline glands of a living body, from a Satanism freak. And if you keep reading, it says the Satanism freak is also a guy that was arrested for molesting kids, by the way.
Okay.
So, and that'll connect us into the adrenochrome talk. But then you see all these ideas floated in the films, like Hunger Games, Monsters, Inc., Lolita. I did a deep dive on the film Lolita, which has an insane amount of stuff in it. The Shining, Dr. Sleep, the idea that there's people, there's beings, there's entities, like vampires almost, that thrive and use fear from children as sustenance is kind of the idea. And, you know, all these theorists have been talking about it. It's sort of popped up on the radar of the masses through the Q movement, because they really harped on that idea hard, that you know, Hollywood's in on this, and they're you know, drinking babies' blood and all this stuff, and the pizza emails that they talked about was a reference to it. But that's the argument, is that this thing exists, it's a real drug, and it's, you know, Satanists use it for this, that, and the other. Well, the way I see how this could fit into the alien argument is, again, if you look at what Tom DeLonge and Peter Lavenda's books, the Secret Machines books, they're laying out how the rationale behind all this, okay? And like I said before, Peter Lavenda wrote those books. I've read Peter Lavenda's books, and he for sure wrote Secret Machines. It's got Tom DeLonge's name on it, but I'd argue that's just to sell books. No offense, Tom DeLonge, but I'm pretty sure that Peter Lavenda, who's well-versed in the occult, wrote these books. And in the first books, Secret Machines, Gods, they lay out, in the first half of the book, most of it is devoted to explaining the ideas of Gnosticism. Mm. And Gnosticism, of course, like we talked about earlier, is the inversion idea. It's the idea that we humans are in this, we're living on a prison planet, and we have to transcend from this curse of a body, this material prison that our bodies live in. We have to, you know, reascend Kabbalistically up the tree of life to the top Sephiroth and get back to being God. And that's kind of the rough idea of Gnosticism, is that we're in a prison, God created this prison, man needs to escape from his body and transcend and enlighten and elevate above this prison. Well, they also devote a fair amount of information to past societies sacrificing kids. They have this whole section on the Aztecs,
uh-huh,
and about how they would use the blood of children, because the argument they present is that our blood comes from the stars, and like the Gnostic belief, the soul, the life force, the blood, it's all trapped into this body. And the Aztecs wanted to release that divine energy back to the gods, back to the stars where it came from, as a form of offering, of sacrifice. So they wanted the kid's blood because it was the most pure. It was the most, you know, unripe. And they would violently kill these sacrifices to the gods. They would rip the limbs off, sever the head, pull the heart out while it was beating, all that stuff that we were familiar with. But it was a Gnostic idea that matter, the body, is trapping the true light of God. And in the book it says there had to be blood, for blood was the spirit. And they're saying that blood has a measure of consciousness in it, which to them is God. Then God is just this global consciousness. And, you know, some people made for better sacrifices because they had better blood, better portions of consciousness within it. And they think that, you know, this divine blood, it's not ours. It never was. It needs to go back to God, because God the Father, who they believe is the real Satan, trapped all of this light inside of this material prison planet. And right. That is what I'd argue this adrenochrome idea could be. It could be that these people that do this stuff, like what no one ever explains is why. Why would they be doing this stuff to kids? Why, you know, what? Because Satan tells them to? Not necessarily. It's because they have this belief system of divine energy needing to go back to the gods as an offering. And I would argue that this is where they might be headed with the alien agenda, based on, I did a show on War of the Worlds 2019. There was an 8-part series on Epics, and it was the same exact message. People didn't understand the ending. I explained the ending. I don't want to spoil it, but the short version is that the film is about this idea of sacrifice to our new alien gods, which is the Gnostic principle, which is part of this new Luciferian religion that I argue will be part of the New World Order.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Wow, phenomenal talk today. Wow, I thoroughly enjoyed this one, Isaac. Again, for the listening audience, you can get over to tradcatnight.org. Please do join us. 25-plus articles, information go out on a regular. I usually write 4 or 5 articles myself, working off my research. Again, I've been really focusing in on the Antichrist over the last few weeks. As a matter of fact, I'm rereading a wonderful book written by a Catholic priest way back, I think it was the 50s, Father Colton, Reign of the Antichrist. Got all these quotes really from stemming back from the beginning of the church and kind of tying it into current events. But 75-plus podcasts on a month, folks, 3 to 4 podcasts a day. I don't know anyone who's podcasting doing as much as I'm doing, breaking down as much as I'm breaking down. But for my audience now, Isaac, shameless self-promotion time, tell us where they can pick up the book.
Yeah, definitely. So I've got the book on Amazon. I've got it on Audible. I self-narrated the whole thing. It's got a very popular section where I do a Bill Gates impersonation, so I think that's worth the price of admission. Sure. I got signed paperbacks when they're in stock on gumroad.com/IsaacW. And if people aren't ready, if they're a little iffy on who I am, they can check me out. Instagram, I'm on there as Isaac Weishaupt, or they can sign up for my email newsletter, IlluminatiWatcher.com/start. You can sign up for my email newsletter. That's just me. I don't sell that information. That's just me connecting. In fact, this morning I sent a fun little email about a story about how my dad tried to buy Charles Manson a birthday cake. It's a long story, but anyway, sometimes I share fun ideas. Sometimes I'm sharing links. Sometimes I'm giving them updates on shows like this. So there's a few options for people, but yeah, the book is on Amazon and Audible. Mostly Audible is the most popular option. People like that. So I narrated the book. That's it. And if anyone likes it, if they like the book, I beg them to please leave a review. That actually helps people find the book. Believe it or not, it's part of the algorithm. So thanks for in advance for that.
Yeah, thanks, Isaac, for joining the program. Folks, thank you all for tuning in to today's cross-collaborative effort between Isaac Weishaupt and Tradcat Knight here. And listen, until next time, hopefully we can make this happen again next month. And I will be in touch with Isaac. We'll see what we can do. Until next time, stay safe and God bless.
There you go. If you want more from the Tradcat Knight, go to tradcatknight.org. You can check out his stuff. He's got lots of content on there. #1 Catholic podcast. Can't beat that. If you want more on the alien topic, you know where to get my books. They're now up on Amazon and Audible. I got the narrated version on Audible. You can listen to my Bill Gates impersonation on there. That's worth the price of admission. And again, links are all in the show notes for all this crap. You can find me on Rockfin now, and you can get me on the Patreon. You know the deal. Till next time, my friends, stay woke.